You don't have to be positive all the time. It's perfectly okay to feel sad, angry, annoyed, frustrated, scared, and anxious. Having feelings doesn't make you a negative person. It doesn't even make you weak. It makes you human. And we are here to talk through it all. We welcome you to These Fucking Feelings Podcast, a safe space for all who needs it. Grab a drink and take a seat. The session begins now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to These Fucking Feelings Podcast. I am Micah. We got Rebecca here virtually from California because, as I've been saying all season, she abandoned me. And we're going to take a real magical journey today with Angela Lee. And it's kind of cool because I was reading a lot about you and I saw love in a lot of what you're saying. And we're starting season 3 this year, which is focusing on love space. See, season 2.5 last year was about the safe space. And now this season is going to be about the love space. So I think it's going to be an incredible ride. And before we do get started, one thing I do ask, or we ask, is that you introduce yourself only because I'm going to forget something. So if you don't mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself. You don't believe how many times people will get offended if you leave one thing out.
Okay. I'm Angela Lee, and I am best known as the author of the Bella Santini Chronicles series, a children's series for ages 8 to 14. And the books are magical and award-winning. What they do is they're engaging and they teach children how to deal with emotion. Because even with the name of this podcast, those fucking feelings, right. It's like many of us were raised with, we don't talk about feelings or we don't express feelings. And especially young men were, don't you cry, don't be a baby, and brought up to be stoic. But there's very much a consequence of repressing feelings.
Definitely.
And so the messages I bring are basically that feelings are energy. Energy needs to move.
Right.
And so if we allow positive expression of our feelings, then we can be free emotionally.
I'm looking forward to this because I kind of got some negative energy right now that I need to shake off. I had one of those crazy days.
happens to all of us.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, we got to get this together. So I was reading a little bit, I guess, about you, and you kind of had a pretty unique story yourself.
I did, yeah. Could make a movie out of it.
Really could. I was like, I couldn't even imagine. I've been through a home fire, but it's something about wildfires that just sound different. You know, I lived in New York City and, you know, we lost an apartment, but it's not quite like losing a home, I feel like, because it's just different.
It is. And like the first fire when I was a kid, where we lost an apartment. The second fire in my life was in 2017, and I lost my home in the Tubbs wildfire. And that really was the pivotal moment, wake-up call in my life, that caused me to take the path of learning about emotions and learning how to deal with emotion.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing. Now, you kind of always had a struggle all through your life with value, self-value, self-worth.
Yes, I did. And it was really drilled in by the men in my life who kind of decided that they needed to keep me in this box of not worthy. And so it wasn't until the fire that I say that that was the first time in my life that I acted in self-love. Right. By questioning my life and saying, is this the life I want to keep living? Because if it can change in an instant, then maybe I can change it for the better.
Right.
And so I jumped off that cliff.
Definitely. And left behind a 32-year marriage.
I did. Yeah.
Wow.
And no marriage is all good or all bad.
Right.
But it was a toxic relationship because when I was a kid, I learned that rage was something no one should experience. So I ended up being in judgment of people who were angry. And my former husband was raised, he had a toxic childhood. And what he learned is the loudest wins. So he brought anger and loudness into our relationship, and I judged it. And so it was not an ideal relationship.
Right. I'm starting to think, is that our issue, Rebecca? I'm the loud one and you're more reserved?
We needed Angela to tell us this. I think the world knew that already.
Well, Angela, before we go further, I want to talk about this hair of yours. Before we go any further,
I wish I was much lighter haired so that I could do something like that.
Well, yeah, someday you'll get old enough to go gray and then you can then think.
And my husband just said to me the other day, and I'm still trying to get over it. He said, just embrace the gray, basically. I'm only 43. And I feel like him saying that is like...
I don't think he said nothing wrong.
No, that's just not okay. That's not okay for him to say that I should just embrace the gray at 43.
Let me jump in a little.
Yes, please.
So what he was saying is embrace who you are and don't try to mask it. And your reaction is like, okay, but I'm not ready to be that. And you know what? It's okay to be both ways, right? It's okay for him to want you to be wholly who you are. And it's okay for you to say, I'm not ready to step into that space. Because I dyed my hair for 30 some years. And well, I mean, you could technically say it's still dyed, but it's all gray, except for the pink part.
And I bet you owe him an apology for being mad at him.
I could go that far.
I'm also going to say that everyone has a right to being mad, and everyone has a right to positively express that anger.
Okay, Anne. Fine. So now, you kind of went on this healing journey. You traveled a lot of places, and that's kind of like a common thing. A lot of guests on our show, they kind of had kind of the same story as far as that's how their healing journey started. It was by traveling to different places and experiencing different things. And I'm like, I don't know.
Comfort zone, not only emotionally but physically, it's just like breaking out completely.
But also for me, it was a little bit about, I felt like I wasn't living life. I felt like I was going through the motions and I wasn't living the life that I wanted to. And so when I got out of the marriage, it took me probably 6 to 8 months before I started reaching for the life that I really wanted, which I then found out I didn't really want that life. What I did is I joined Mind Valley and I went to some Mind Valley events, which they say it's TED Talk during the day and party at night.
Okay.
And it was really living big at night. And I did that 3 or 4 times. And then I was like, okay, I've done that. I don't need to, you know, stay up all night dancing. It's fun to go dancing, but I don't need to do that. And so that was a period that I needed to go through to have that experience in order to feel like I had that, you know, that living.
Now, this feeling like you weren't living the way you wanted to, is that something you kind of had your whole life?
I think so, yeah. I don't think that I had it as strong as a child as I did in my marriage, you know, because in my marriage, I did not allow myself to be me. I tried to be the person he wanted me to be.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to do. You know, it's much better when we can be ourselves.
Are those the sorts of feelings that inspired the character in your book, Bella Santini?
That's such a great question, because it wasn't until I was done with book two that I realized that a lot of these situations in the book are kind of allegories for things I went through in my life. And another podcaster had asked me, you know, are you Bella Santini? And I was like, well, there's a little piece of me in her, but there's also Shabona, who is the character who can't quite get anything right. And her magic is corrupted, so she does a spell and it comes out the opposite way it's supposed to. And you never know what's going to happen when Shabona starts doing magic. But she doesn't take that in, and she doesn't, it doesn't change who she knows she is. She's like, well, that's a temporary circumstance, and I'm going to someday get out of that circumstance. But I know who I am, and she stands strong in her being. And that, I think, is who I identify with now.
And that's what I was going to ask. Is it two different parts of who you were? Like, this is who I was before the healing. This is who I was after the healing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of girls in that age group probably would identify with that, you know, eight.
I think so. Even a little. And it's so, you know, schools, the way schools teach is like there's right and there's wrong, and there's this way to do something. And if you do it some other way, it's not right.
Right.
And that, so schools teach failure, basically.
No, we were talking about that with Simon Says. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we were just having this conversation about Simon Says. You know, Simon Says do this. Simon Says do that. Put your hand up. Oh, Simon didn't say, you know, now you're out the game. But it's like...
failure.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But basically, I believe that there is no such thing as failure. There are steps in your path towards learning how to do whatever you're going to do. And those steps are very important. And if you take one of those steps and say, I'm a failure, then you're going to stop and you're not going to keep trying. But if you say, all right, that was a step backward and I've learned now that I can't approach it from this direction, then you're prepared to take the next step and do more.
How long did it take you to, you know, believe this concept? And also, what was the journey like?
And so the journey in my former marriage, there were very few things I could do right. And it came down to how I swept the kitchen floor or how high the fire was when I was cooking food. So the flame height. And that was just a measure of the control that was brought into the marriage by my former husband. There are no mistakes. And so I don't look at that part of my life as a mistake. It was what brought me to these understandings.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rebecca. You looked like you was about to ask something.
Well, I was, but it wasn't like, I didn't want it to sound like my question has more to do with parenting. So I was listening, but I didn't want you to think that because I was changing the subject anyway.
No, it's important to talk about parenting. So I'd love to hear your question.
Yeah, you mentioned parenting by default. And when I read that, my initial thought, because I have three children, my initial thought was, huh, because...
What does that mean?
What exactly does that mean? Because... I tried to think of what it could mean, but I'm not sure I do.
I'm glad you asked. So most parents will either parent exactly how their parents parented, as if their parents had gone to school to learn how to parent, which they didn't. And the other opposite reaction, which is also a default, is to do the opposite of what the parents did. So if you were raised by a angry, controlling father, you might default to being very, not neglectful, but but you just give everything and you're overgiving. And in the spectrum of parenting, both sides bring negative results for the kids. But if you can be in the middle where you have high nurturing and high boundaries, then you're giving the child everything they need to really thrive.
Julia, I had a difficult time. Actually, I've never really talked about this portion of my life on the podcast, but I had divorced my first husband when my children were younger. And my three children were, my youngest was four. And it was my decision to divorce. My children, as they grew older, became more and increasingly upset with more so me, because their dad was farther away from us. And so, you know, our lives were really separate. So they kind of, I could feel their resentment or their frustration toward me. So I think unconsciously at first, I was kind of compensating or trying to make their lives easier, or I don't know, make up for this change in their lives by doing those sorts of things. Making like concessions for, hey, let's have ice cream for dinner kind of thing, you know? I don't know.
That's always fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Just trying to make them happy in other ways. And I created a monster inadvertently, but...
Or three monsters.
Yeah, or three. No, I have great kids.
I have great kids. I just wanted to point that out too. They're going to watch this and they're old enough now that they can kick my butt. So,
It's normal when you're splitting up a family for especially the one who initiated it to want to compensate for the kids. But no one is ever responsible for the happiness of anyone else. We are all self-responsible for our happiness. And so, you know, I get it why you did what you did. You were trying to make it easier for them. And if I was around when you were doing it and I had the wisdom that I have now, I might have took you aside and said, you know, talk to them about their feelings, let them express their feelings, give them positive ways. There's a lot of feelings around a family splitting up. So give them positive ways for expressing their feeling, like going for a run or painting a picture or writing everything down and then burning that paper. Or, you know, there's so many ways. Punching a pillow was an excellent way to get those feelings out.
We're all in control or in charge of our own our own happiness, I think is
right.
Yeah. So
I think that's a concept. I hate to call it concepts because I feel like using the word concept minimizes things. So I guess I should say belief. I think that's a belief that would be hard to believe in.
Well, I think it's hard for me with my children being that young. It would have been harder for me to believe that they would be in charge of their own happiness at that age.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, it's a choice, right? So I am choosing to be unhappy over this circumstance. And it's not necessarily a conscious choice. It just happens. But it is a choice. And at some level, we can all shift our perspective in order to look at something in a different way and make a different choice. That was really outlined for me in the wildfire, because my whole book club, 10 out of 12 women, lost our house that night. And yeah, well, there were 5,000 homes destroyed overnight. So
you know,
it was a big deal. Yeah. Some of the people would basically, they would look at the circumstance and decide that their life was ruined and they needed to get exactly back to where they were. So rebuild the exact house in the exact way it was on the exact lot, but change is inevitable. And so there was no way you could return because your neighbor might decide to move, right? So it's not going to be exactly the same. And there are other people who looked at it like, okay, well, now I have the insurance money and I can decide to go somewhere else because maybe I didn't think I could afford to go somewhere else before, but now I get this settlement, so maybe I can move to England.
Is that what you did?
That's why I did it.
Among other things.
Right. I know. It's like, you. Where do you live now?
Taos, New Mexico.
Taos, New Mexico. I drive a Taos, so that just sounds destined. I need to come visit you. So, I had like 86 good questions and they all magically left. Magic. Perfect. I wanted to talk about magic.
Yes, magic is a good topic. We can talk about magic. Yeah, because magic is one of those things that it's one of my favorite topics. But I think you incorporating that into your books would definitely be one of those elements that draws that age group. Because every little girl, especially, in my opinion, believes in magic, you know? That's just how the world should be. So I love that element is.
Yeah. And it is actually that way, if you can open your heart to it. So when you look through the eyes of a child and you see the wonder of that flower that's growing up in the sidewalk, or the sunset over the water, and you're just like, you're seeing it from this sense of true beauty, that is magical.
Right.
Yeah. So magic does exist.
I got a question, and it may be weird, right? But we about to, I don't know how, you write fairy tales, so we're cool. Rebecca's like, oh, look. No, because to me, I think we were kind of having this conversation the other day, right, too, because it's like magic. We talk about magic and, you know, we can have that conversation whether magic is real or not. But I goes back and, you know, I go back and I think about like Santa Claus. I wish my parents would have never told me there was a Santa Claus, there was a tooth fairy, because I believed in magic only to find out that it didn't exist in the way that I was taught. So now where sometimes I feel like I see the magic in things, I don't believe it. You know, so it's like, it's unbelievable to me. You know, it's like, I can see it, but it's still unbelievable. Like, I don't believe it. So that's like my issue. But I know it comes from hearing all these magical stories. And, you know, there really wasn't no miracle on 34th Street. You know what I'm saying? And you know how many times I went to 34th Street?
Well, so, okay.
Do you think that that can have something to do with? I know it's such a random thing, but
I think that can have something to do with it. But also it's just the heavy energy of reality that we all deal with. You know, how many times do we get caught up in the schedule, the work, the things we do, and we don't see those magical things? And so it's kind of like, if we can open our hearts, and what I teach children is that they are the magic.
Right.
Because the love they carry in their heart is the magic that will make the world a better place.
And I love how you put magic and love kind of, like I said, I'm a believer, but it's still unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? But I too think this world needs more love and magic. So
yeah, for sure.
I totally agree.
But you also work with parents, right? You also work with parents and helping them to work with their kids.
Yeah. So each of my books has a parent's guide that will teach parents about the concepts that are in the books. So because, frankly, none of us learned about feelings when we were, you know, going into parenting school. That non-existent thing, right?
Right.
So basically, each book has a parent's guide. And then I realized that, oh boy, you know, a lot of these concepts are harder for parents to understand because they're carrying all those burdens of the repressed feelings and the beliefs and understandings from their parents. And so I created an online conscious parenting course that teaches basically what is called gentle parenting. And it's like that middle of the road where I love my kids to death or to life, as my husband says.
Right.
Or
Micah says too.
It's a nicer way of saying
it too.
And I have rules that I'm going to teach them so that we all can live in a way in harmony. Because the kind of parenting where there's no rules, even if there's high amount of love, has poor outcomes for children.
Right.
Because children need the structure to feel secure.
So did you just give up on adults and felt like this was something that you couldn't teach adults? Because I feel like this is the lesson I need to learn, you know?
So no, I didn't give up on adults. I included them in my fairy tales by giving them tools. And my book, I was talking to someone just like 20 minutes ago, and she said, you should say your books are for 8 to 80 instead of 8 to 14.
Right.
Because a lot of this stuff in my books, people just were never taught.
Do you think it's hard for an adult to break habits, or do you think in teaching the kids, they eventually will learn on themselves?
I think that it's a little bit harder. You know, there's what I say is when we repress emotions, it's like we have this backpack on our back and we start filling it with the rocks and we carry those rocks around. And so a lot of parents have this heavy load of emotions that they never learned how to express. And it's harder for them to truly grasp. Like there's one exercise I teach about feeling, and it's 90 seconds. So the biology, biochemistry of a feeling going through your body is 90. Oh, and wow. If you think about all the people who spend money and time and effort trying to avoid feelings, when if they gave it 90 seconds, it could go away. So this process, because our minds are filled with thoughts that will keep our feelings stretched out and keep us feeling those feelings. Those thoughts are like, I don't want to feel this way. Or he did that to me. Or I hate that this happened. And those kind of thoughts keep that feeling going. So you need to disconnect your mind. And how you do that is putting your entire mind focusing on the feeling. So you're like, what does it feel like? Where is it in my body? What color is it? What is it like this big black ball or this sparky purple point? And so you describe it, you name it, and then you give yourself permission to feel it. And the biggest part of it is giving yourself the permission. Yeah. I was talking to a guy who, I'm sorry, Micah.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was talking to a guy who his podcast is all about recovery from alcoholism. And he was so amazed when I said, give yourself permission to feel. And he almost came to tears because he was like, I never knew that.
It's that self-love we talk about.
Yeah.
That love space putting some magic in your life.
I also saw that you do, you do speaks about emotions and so forth. I don't know if they're seminars or whatever they are considered, but one particular topic came blaring out at me was bullying. That was the very first topic we podcasted about here together on season 2.5. And that is probably a topic that will hold near and dear to our hearts because our producer's daughter was experiencing some bullying. So what are your thoughts? Whatever you can tell us about bullying.
So what I write about bullying is that hurt people. And so understanding when a child cannot, when they're being attacked by their parent or they're being subjected to cruel things, they do not have the ability to stand up for themselves, and they don't have the ability to speak out about what's happening. And so they end up repressing the memory and the feeling. But according to Dr. Alice Miller, who wrote the book, Feelings, or The Body Never Lies, feelings either attack inward or they attack outward. So there's no such thing as repressing a feeling. There is only either having it attack inward or outward. And so what bullies are people who have repressed feelings and they're attacking outward. And my answer to that is to love them, because so many people are in opposition and pushing away and rejecting that bully. When we can approach them from a heart space and say, wow, what happened to you? Because that is going to open up a possible conversation. Not, wow, why do you say that? Or why are you so mean? Or why, you know, those are attacks and not love. It's really important. Another aspect of that is bullies' words only hurt us if they match the energy of childhood wounding. And so if we can heal and allow those emotions from those childhood wounding to flow, then there is no energetic match. So if someone called you a tomato, would you have a huge response to that? Probably not. But if someone called you a bitch.
I thought it was cool because I like the color red. That was my thought process first. I was like, okay, I'll be a tomato.
But if someone called you a bitch, then you might respond and react to that. We only react when we have inner wounds that match that. And so it's, you know, maybe in your teen years, someone called you that and it made you feel really bad. And so that energy is still stuck within you. So anytime anyone says that, you're going to be reactive.
Do you think it could be the intention behind what you thought it was? And I say that because I call Rebecca a bitch all day long. It's just my love language, right? But look, but let somebody else call her a bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're going to be on that.
When you were saying that, I was like, I wonder if it's that we think about the intention, like what we feel they meant when they said it. That's
and
why.
That's so funny because, yeah, the energy behind the words.
Right.
Because I can say, I love you. And you feel the energy that isn't love. And so,
or you get wet a little bit like I did. No, I'm just joking. I put the fuck in feelings. Okay, I'm sorry. It's the hair.
This just took a weird turn. Okay, focus.
The energy behind the words. So, you know, my former husband would always tell me really mean things. And his energy was there, but then he would tell me that I took it wrong. And we can always tell by the energy behind the words. So if a friend comes to me and says, hey, bitch, what? I'm going to be like, hey, you know, nothing's wrong with that.
Right.
But if someone is coming at me with rage and saying that word, it's probably going to bring up something in me.
Right.
Definitely. So now, of course, we don't have no kids between the age of 8 and 16 watching us. And I guess I will want to say I am on my healing journey, right? But we have this boss. Rebecca and I, we love each other so much. We do the same day job and the same night job. But so we have this boss and he always says, you know, you every day you can choose to be happy. And my initial reaction is like, this corny motherfucker, you know, like he always saying, he was like, every day I tell my daughters, today you could choose to be happy. And I'm like, you corny as shit. But then it is like 3 weeks later and I'm like, well, I guess you really can choose to be happy. But so what I'm trying to say, there are people that are probably watching us right now that are like, this is some bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. And when people, I did a live stream this morning on, yeah, it was on, anyway, wherever it was, YouTube. So I had
it sounds like
women
and snakes, the seminars, the whatever,
yeah,
Instagram, YouTube, yeah.
These two women have this process, which I call future casting. And when you have a big problem in your life and you're like, you have no idea how you're going to fix that one.
Right.
But with future casting, you come in and you're like, hey, Micah, remember when I was broke and I didn't know how I was going to buy food? And then the next thing happened and all of a sudden, my whole world changed and I was able to buy food and I was able to pay for everything. And then Micah would jump in and say, yeah, I remember that. You were such a hole. And then the next day you were out of it. By all of us participating in that I remember game, we shift energy and we bring in those kind of magical things that make our lives better.
Right. So you guys need to bring in some magical things and buy Angela's books and give them to your kids.
How many
because
books do
I'm
you
tired.
Have?
Sorry, Rebecca asked, how many books do you have?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have 3 out right now. The 4th is in the building process. You know, you have to get the illustrations. You have to do the editing. You have to have copywriter. You have to have someone setting it up for book formatting. And yeah, a lot of stuff.
I know. I just wrote a book. I know what you're talking about.
They're cool.
But, okay, I wanted to ask, so if you want to know, I really created this podcast for free therapy for myself, right?
Cool.
So I figured I was talking my therapist to death. She was charging me too much money. She needed to go. Really, she quit on me. That's a whole different story, but whatever. I needed a new therapist. So I said, bam, start a podcast. So this question is for me, right?
Okay.
Because each, I don't know, I feel like as our podcast grows, you know, last season was about a safe space. And this season, it's about, you know, your love space and those kind of things. I'm kind of going through that in my healing journey. So last season was about sexual assault and kind of some of the abuse I went through. And now I'm okay with that and somehow was able to kind of move on where I really don't hate nobody no more. But that's now cool. Having issues with beliefs, right? Because I start to realize that my biggest issue in my whole life is that I feel guilty about everything I do. It was kind of how I was programmed. I tell Rebecca, it's really weird. I can write better than I can speak, right? So if I would write what I'm trying to say to you right now, you would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I might be confused a little bit, but it's just because I had to like dumb down my outsideness being abused for so many years, but yeah. Somehow learn how to live inside. So I feel like inside I'm smarter than I'm outside. Anyway, it's a whole thing. We're getting there, okay? Like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with you.
Believe it or not, all of that made sense.
Okay.
It did. Yeah. Oh.
And because, and you know, I don't often talk about it, but I was sexually abused too. And so it's like you have to go inside and create this magical place where you're safe,
right?
Because your whole world isn't safe. Yeah.
So now in my healing, I'm starting to let some of that come out, but it also makes me recognize like what I did. Okay. I can see how I split myself. But a big thing people always told me, or like a way people got me to convince, we didn't grow up like in an overly religious house, but we were kind of Catholic. But we also grew up in a Puerto Rican neighborhood in New York where everybody else was Catholic. So even though my mom didn't preach the Bible to me, I heard about God and Jesus a lot, you know. And Spanish people can be really, really harsh to a feminine little boy because it's hard to be gay. You can't be gay. Being gay was a sin and this, that, and other things. So I grew up my whole life, you know, just thinking sin. Everything I did was a sin. Where now I'm at a pretty good place in my life, but I'm struggling with allowing myself to be happy because a lot of people around me are so sad and miserable. So it's like, I shouldn't go out and celebrate because, you know, my mom is sick and she's in pain, or because, you know, my brother and his wife are fighting and maybe when this interview plays, if you pass all that, and they won't be mad that I told their business, but whatever. So it's, and I'm feeling like it goes back to sin. I think everything is a sin. Everything I do is a sin. And so I feel guilty. You know, it's like I overly give. You mentioned that earlier. It's like I overly give because I feel like if I have it, you know, I work really hard. I don't have no kids, and I'm not married, right? Which means all my money I spend on myself. So this fabulous jacket is one of like 30 in every color, you know?
And talk about shoes.
And I call the teal one.
Okay.
I like that. I like that.
Because of that, it's like, but I feel guilty. So now so-and-so needs money and they ask for it. And I give it to them because I feel like all I'm going to do is go buy another jacket. Right. She was like, can you send Tinkerbell my way and let her sprinkle some of her fairy dust? Because it's like I need to get rid of guilt. I feel like that's the final ending to me really being able to really heal is to get rid of guilt.
Other part of guilt is shame.
And shame.
Yeah. And they're like so enmeshed together. I know that the best way to get rid of shame is to share what you are ashamed about with someone else. Because guilt and shame can only live in the dark. And right. When they're brought to light, they cannot exist. So I was, do you guys know who Preston Smiles is? Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay.
Now you make me feel like I should.
He's just a self-development guy. He's a great guy. At one of his events that I went to, he had us in a group of 12 people, and we were each supposed to speak our deepest shame in this group. And it was a brilliant exercise because once you speak that shame, it has no hold on you because it's already out. So what do you have to be ashamed about?
Well, I think that if you watch the episodes of the podcast, you know that
he's an open book. Like,
I am a legit open book.
This book is like this.
A customer asked me why I wasn't available, and I told them because I overslept. Okay? It didn't go too well with corporate offices. You know, that wasn't the answer that you were supposed to give, but it was the truth.
I believe we all need to live on our truth, not someone else's truth. Our truth.
Right. Okay. And I think that's my lesson or my takeaway from this is to start living all my truth because other people are sad and, you know, doesn't mean I have to be because I kind of determine my happiness, like you said, and they need to start determining theirs.
Right. And so you're making the choice to not indulge in your happiness because they're unhappy.
Right.
And how does you being unhappy while they're unhappy help them?
Right. We got somewhere and you taught me something.
That's your takeaway, Micah, right there.
I'm going to buy all your books. I'm going to read the children's version first and then read the parents' guide. And I'm going to let you know what I think. Not that it matters, but maybe it'll matter. Okay?
The parents' guide is actually part of the book. So, like, you read to the end of the book and there's the book club questions. And then there's the parent guide. So they don't have to go out and buy a whole nother book. It's all there.
Okay. Now, we want all your books, but we want autographs. So we don't have to figure out. We don't mind paying for them. But I want autographs, so we got to figure out a way to make that happen, okay?
Yeah, so you just have them sent to me. I'll autograph them. You give me your address, I'll send them.
I'll even send you the label, and we're good shipping to Mexico, so we're good. Logistics, that is what we do. But we definitely will list all of your contact information below, all the links to your books. And I know that you do, like you said, you do things on YouTube. That was something I didn't discover until later on today. And I was like, oh my gosh, you got all these great videos. It makes sense. So let's go watch those great videos. But I want to ask, because I'm crazy and Rebecca hasn't learned how to wrangle me in yet. I want to make sure that there was nothing. Shut up, it's possible. Okay. Don't give up on me.
Okay.
Is there anything that you wanted to say or give to our audience that we didn't give you an opportunity to say?
Yeah. So it's important that you give yourself grace because we weren't taught this stuff. And I learned it all the hard way. And you have the opportunity to learn it an easier way. But if you beat yourself up because you didn't do it right, or you made a bad choice at some point in time, you're not helping anyone, and most especially not yourself. And I teach about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't forgiving someone else. It's giving a gift to yourself because you're letting go of the burden of resentment. And when you can put that forgiveness on yourself, you're giving yourself grace. So forgive yourself for the things that maybe you did because you didn't know any better. Happens to all of us.
Right. The best of us.
The best of us, absolutely.
I'm going to have you take that last 30 seconds there and cut that, slice it, whatever you got to do. And I'm going to make that a recording on my phone so that I can listen to her words every single day. So
I think you wasn't supposed to tell her that, because now you're going to get a bill. But
no. I give a lot of stuff away. So.
I think I need to hear those words every day.
I'd be saying the same thing. I just throw in a couple of bitches and hoes, but you don't listen to me. But that's just what I'd be saying.
I know, but it's the same thing.
Right. I gave Angela my script. Okay.
You need to leave the bitches and hoes out.
But it's my love language, okay? So it's what makes me happy. And Angela told me it is about my happiness. And really, we joke a lot, but everybody knows that I legit love everybody. That is something. Because like you say, it is magic.
Almost to a fault. And I said that before. He loves everybody, and it's almost to a fault. He loves everybody.
Yeah, I legit do. I just have love for everybody. I will talk to everybody. I will give everybody my time, because I don't know. It just bothers me that people don't have magic in their life, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, of course, we're going to list all your contact information. Thank you so much for being on and dealing with me, my craziness. But it's something I pride myself in.
You made it through.
But you made it through. And I know you probably going to call your therapist afterwards. You can send me that bill.
I don't have a therapist, actually.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. We love your hair. We absolutely love you. Hopefully when the next book comes back, we can have you back on.
I would love that. You guys are so much fun. And awesome. Yeah, that would be amazing.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for watching. Season 3 is starting off really, really well. And we will see you next week.
And with that, we're wrapping up another episode of the Fucking Feelings Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in and engaging in another intense and real discussion on understanding and navigating through our feelings. Don't forget, we're here each Wednesday, bringing you brand new episodes filled with stories, advice, and perspectives to help you handle those fucking feelings. So set a reminder on your calendar, grab your headphones, and join us every week. And if you're interested in exploring more ways to deal with life's stresses, make certain to tune in to our sister podcast. Trauma is expensive. Dive deep into discussions on managing trauma, building resilience, and fostering healing, with new episodes dropping every Monday. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on both podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. Remember, each comment and rating can catapult us further towards reaching those individuals who could really use our discussions. Your feedback is invaluable. Before we close, we want to remind you that discussing feelings is never a sign of weakness, but a display of courage. Stay brave, stay strong, and keep feeling those fucking feelings. Until next week, take care and keep the conversation going.